go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benjamin.
And I'm Ben Bullen.
Ben, how many times have we talked about something that we've seen outside of the office here, you know, like a unique accessory, something unusual? Yeah. We do that all the time, right?
That's our main thing.
Yeah, that's right. We've done it many times on the show, even. We've done it outside of the show, things we've seen or talked about. Kind of led me to this topic. And this can go so many different ways here that I've actually broken it down in a few different directions here that we can go. But maybe like automotive oddities or strange accessories or, you know, stuff that didn't work.
We're going weird with it.
Yeah, a little bit weird with this one. Yeah, there's a lot of things, and I think we'll do these kind of rapid fire. How about that?
Yeah, why not? This is going to be fun.
Yeah, I think it'll be good. I mean, we've got cars that, you know, like complete vehicles that are just really out there, really strange. We've got a short list of those. Mm-hmm. And then what I found maybe even probably the most amusing out of this whole thing was like some of these older vintage accessories, you know, things that were kind of funny, you know, like a lot of really strange ideas that were very, very impractical that never took off. And then one that I decided to go with on my own here, and it's modern car accessories that that I'm seeing a lot of recently, like something that I don't know, just stuff that I see on the way into work, but I'm beginning to see more and more of. Not just one time, but maybe it's starting to become a trend.
Oh, we're going to have fun with this one.
Yeah, I think so. So you want to start off with just a couple of yours maybe here? And
Sure.
Yeah, okay.
All right, sure. Absolutely. Scott, you sent a great forum post with numerous vintage car advertisements. One thing, now I don't want to steal any of the thunder, but can we do accessories first?
Of course.
Okay. So let's go ahead and skip past the cosmetic thing, like the, you know, the stuff hanging down from the exhaust pipe or from the lid. And let's go look at the front of the car. Some people think it's a great idea to give your car a mustache.
A mustache. Mm-hmm. This is one that I had never seen before.
Car stash. I have not seen this in real life yet.
I did see the ad for this. Now, we both looked at the same thing, so we're not shocking each other with these. But a car mustache. Mm-hmm. This is ridiculous. Literally, it's like a 3 or 4 foot wide mustache.
Big fuzzy mustache. You just tack it on the front of your car. In case you need to disguise it, I guess.
I guess
if
so.
The police are after you.
I guess so.
Now, there's a, let's see, this is a modern thing, so this is not necessarily vintage, but it's always been kind of weird to me.
Okay.
The neon lights on the undercarriage of a car.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's a weird car accessory.
And it's, you know what? That's still hanging out there. That's still around. I see, I occasionally will see some, it's more used for, a lot of times you'll see it used as accent lighting under the grill now.
Yeah.
It's kind of, I'd say, at least in this area, it's still a little bit rare to see one where they have the full underbody covered with neon like they did maybe 10 years ago. But yeah, it's a strange look. I agree. I see it on motorcycles.
Yes.
Which is a little strange.
That is a little weird.
A lot of times, you know, you see a motorcycle parked in a parking lot with all of these accessory lights on, you know, like a blue theme or something like that, green theme. Can look kind of cool.
So what do you think is one of the weirdest car accessories we've run into so far?
Oh, you know what? I've actually got one that I want to kind of hang on to for the end because it's just – they're so strange. These older accessories, they're so funny. I mean, I've got a few here.
Yeah.
I'm going to just list a few real quick.
Yeah, let's rapid fire.
All right. So there's a whole group of cooking accessories that you can buy for cars, right?
Yes.
And a lot of these are coming from like the 1920s, 1930s,
sure.
40s, that era. So, Ben, this is maybe the most surprising one. Now, okay – Let's wait around that room for a second.
Okay.
There's a lot of heaters, a lot of cookers, a lot of heaters that,
right.
like, imagine like a crock pot that is heated by exhaust gas.
Mm-hmm.
There's
so
a lot of those.
You take a long day trip with your family and you have dinner ready when you park.
That's right. You put the pork roast into the pan that sits on the running boards of the car. Because remember, cars had running boards and exterior trunks and all kinds of things like that. So there are places to put these things. But really, this is literally like a crock pot that sits on the running board of the car. And you reroute the exhaust so that it heats that crock pot and it cooks it. I honestly, I can't find anything wrong with this idea.
Let's be very clear about this. the exhaust is at no time touching the food.
No, no, it's
just the heat.
It's just the excess heat. The waste heat is going to heat this thing. So let's say that a lot of these say take your family on a picnic and you've got lunch ready when you get there.
Yeah.
So a lot of them say that, you know, in an hour and a half drive, you've got a pot roast and all the vegetables, you know, in this thing is ready to go. There's a few of those. There's also a hot dog cooker that you and I had quite a laugh at.
This is one that I think this is my favorite as far as the cooking
stuff. Oh, is it really?
Because it seems just lazy enough that I think it could work if people brought it back.
Yeah, but the thing about this thing is, Ben, it's a hot dog cooker that looks like a huge tube that sticks out towards the passengers from the driver or the passenger side.
Yeah.
And it's not a simple little device. It doesn't fit in the glove box or anything like that.
Yeah, it's a big cylinder. It's always out there.
This is a giant add-on thing. It's called the hot dog sizzler, if you want to look it up.
Yeah, and you have to love hot dogs to justify getting this.
Yeah, but it's only $3.95.
Oh, yeah.
But the justification, I think you're right. I mean, this cooks the buns. It cooks everything. You know, it steams the buns or whatever. It's an electric device. You can cook two hot dogs in 3 to 5 minutes. And, again, it's called the Hot Dog Sizzler if you want to take a look at these. All of these are available. You can check these out, by the way, on a site called – well, it's called The Ham.
Yeah.
H-A-M-B, and that stands for Hokey Ass Message Board is what it stands for. And that's easy to find. Look for, you know – weird auto accessories, something like that. These will all come up. So you can kind of follow along with this if you choose.
But what if your hot dog sizzler is broken?
Well,
why then, of course, you go to the motor cafeteria.
Oh, yeah. What's that one?
That you showed me this one. You'll remember at first I said, is that just a concept or did someone actually do it?
Oh, I know what you're talking about.
You showed me the photograph and there's imagine a cafeteria as the hub of a wheel and – there's spokes there that are conveyor belts, right? And mm-hmm. cars park in a circle around this, and the food is conveyed out to them the same way that, you know, sometimes in a sushi restaurant you'll see little plates of food passing
by. I think this one uses actually carriages or carts to bring it out to you, though, which is really strange. I guess so it remains covered the whole time, and you can put the money in there and send it back. So you never really have any kind of interaction with anybody that works there other than through maybe a microphone.
So, you know, on the off chance that calamity strikes and your hot dog sizzler is broken, you can pull up here.
Yeah.
I don't know why you wouldn't want to use a drive-through if you're already driving.
Well, sure. How about an electric coffee maker?
Finally.
There's also that, which is, again, just a couple of bucks, but it also clamps to the dashboard. You can imagine how big this thing is. Now, the biggest one in the cooking devices that really surprised me, Ben, and this one is so strange, the most surprising device, I guess, it's a meat grinder that's powered by the wheels of your car. And this sounds so bizarre, I know, but you set up this whole bench system, and you set up this kind of like off-center arm that bolts to the device, and you got to really get everything lined up the right way. But you have to jack the vehicle up, and it shows, you know, a young woman sitting here on a block of wood, and she's got this whole system set up, and she's grinding meat with, it looks like the Model T or something, the back wheel of her Model T. It's really, really bizarre. It's a strange thing, but seems like a bad idea to me, because meat grinders are terribly dangerous enough when they're hand cranked. Imagine adding the engine of a Model T to that.
And why would somebody my question for the inventor is, how much meat were you grinding when you finally said, you know what, would really kick this up a notch?
Well, you know what, picnics back in the day, they were a big deal, right?
Yes.
And I think a lot of the food was prepared on site.
Mm-hmm.
But to bring like chunks of meat that you need to grind on site, I don't know about that. I don't think that's a very good idea.
But, of course, there were other ideas that if they were not brilliant, they were definitely unique.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you remember that picture of the guy who had the glare-proof driving glasses?
Yes, I do.
It looks like he's wearing bug eyes. These are these look almost exactly like those glasses that the kids wear in Willy Wonka in the Adventures of Willy Wonka or whatever.
Yeah, they're like cone shaped.
Yeah, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I'm sorry.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, they're cone shaped with these tiny little lenses directly in front of the your pupil.
Looks terribly unsafe. I mean, you're looking through a pinhole, basically.
Yeah.
You've got glasses on that have a pinhole, and wherever you move your eyes. Can you imagine the tunnel vision that this thing gives you? It's like wearing blinders.
Yeah, I think there's a reason that they're not around right now.
Well, the idea was that, you know, you avert your eyes from the glaring light of the oncoming driver, mm-hmm. and that's supposed to save you. Also, you know what? There were a few of those. I don't have it in my notes here. I know they're somewhere. I'll shuffle and find it, but... there were other anti-glare devices.
Right.
One that looked like – it almost looked like sunglasses that you put on your vehicle.
And, oh, yeah. It goes over the windshield.
And there's that one.
Okay.
It goes over the windshield. And that's kind of – that's a stylistic thing that, you know, they actually stuck around with that for a while.
Yeah.
You know, the manufacturers put that on. This one looks like over the headlights you put a giant set of glasses.
I saw that one,
Now, the crazy thing is that I started to look carefully at that photo. And it doesn't just go over the headlights. It goes all the way back to the cowl, which is all the way right where the windshield attaches to the body. This is like two big pontoons that come out from the side. It dramatically changes the look of the car, I'll tell you that.
On that note, I have to say, while we're mentioning lamps, one thing I ran across that I really miss, that I thought was a cool feature, was the hidden gas tank.
Yeah.
Access.
Yeah.
Do you see those? Do you remember those where you could pull that tail light back?
I do.
And the gas cap was back there?
I do, yeah. And
that's so cool.
Yeah, I mean, even something simple like the license plate. My Chrysler has a gas tank hidden behind the license plate.
Nice.
Well, Porsches are up in the front fender.
Yeah.
You know, there's a few of those around, but it's nothing like what it used to be. I mean, these were, you know, strange little areas that the gas cans were.
No, I know. That's not a silly one. That's just one I really like. But we have loads of silly ones.
You know what? I think maybe it's time to take a little bit of a detour here to one that – now, this guy, he actually took his vehicle and customized it to the point. He put some crazy things on it. It's a guy who owned a shop in San Diego, California. His name is Louis Matar, I think is how you say his name, or Matter maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me wonder, Ben, what I'm doing with all my time when I look at what this guy has done with this car. He has got I think it's an old Cadillac, as a matter of fact. I'll have to double check that. Get this. In his car, now here's the photo that attracted my attention. There's a shower on the side of the car.
Oh,
a
perfect.
Shower head on the side of the car. He's holding a towel for a young woman taking a shower. This is the 1950s, a very funny bathing suit that she's in. But again, and it's heated. The water's heated by the exhaust again. So he's making use of that waste heat again.
Yeah.
The car also has an electric barbecue pit that sits in the armrest in the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And it also has, what is this? A soda fountain and a pull-out sink.
Of course.
Yeah, of course, yeah. And he was actually going to, his plans were to also include a hot coffee maker, which we already found out can happen, a television set, which would be revolutionary for the time that we're talking about here, and, two-way phones, Ben. Two-way phones, yeah, that's amazing.
Not the old-fashioned one-way phones?
I mean, this guy, I mean, just the amount of effort that the guy put into all his projects, it just makes me wonder what the heck I'm doing with my time.
You know what else people have in cars?
What's that?
Pools. Hot tubs.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, maybe like limousine?
Yes.
Ah, yes.
I think it's the – it was the world record holder for like the longest limousine.
Mm-hmm.
You can check out the pictures. It's worth it. There's a limousine with a pool. There was somebody who was hanging out and they said, you know, I've ridden in limousines before and they're just not doing it for me anymore. I kind of want to be in a pool but still in a limo.
Oh, yeah. And we're not talking about the poor man's version where, you know, you put the plastic liner in the back of the pickup and,
right, no,
and fill it with water.
A little bit different.
No, this is a full-on hot tub with
you know the one I'm talking
circulating
about.
Jets and everything. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I do. Oh, that's a lot of weight to carry around. There's got to be structural issues
I don't
with that.
Think it's street legal.
I wouldn't think so.
But
I wouldn't think so.
Hats off.
Passenger safety.
I'm certainly not going to be a hater. I'm glad he's having a good time.
Sure, why not? How about simple things like, you know, here's one. And this is maybe the photo's funnier than anything, really.
Okay.
It's a separate steering wheel for Junior to drive while, you know, Dad's driving the car.
Yeah, yeah.
And it looks like a very dangerous steering wheel sticking out right at the kid's chest, you know. But then you realize when you look at the photo that the kid's sitting in the front seat with no seatbelt on. So that's maybe even more dangerous than you know, having this. I think it's a hard rubber steering
and
wheel.
And how old is that one?
It looks like it's from the 50s, but maybe the 40s.
Okay.
Could be the 40s.
Also, before there was air conditioning common in most vehicles, we've got this great little article, or I guess it's a little blurb here. about a gas station that decided to give free cold air service.
Yes. Yeah, this is hilarious.
So you go to purchase your gas, and then the attendant takes a long tube, right, from a generator, an AC unit, and he just pops it in. You roll down a window, and he pops it through your windowsill, and he fills your car with cold air. And apparently it got cold in seconds.
So this is like the full-service gas stop, right?
Right, yeah.
And so he's doing his thing. You know, the guy's in the white suit with the hat, you know, the paper hats and everything. Yeah. Three or four of them attacking your car at one time. And the car temperature drops like 20 degrees, they said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Incredible. I mean, but the funny thing is, like, I don't know, it just seems so strange to open up your window and have them pumping cold air into the vehicle while they're doing all their work. How long would that last, really? it's a neat idea, I guess.
It's the thought that counts.
Yeah, it is. And it's kind of a funny – it's a funny picture, really.
It is. It is. And it sounds like it would be great during summer.
How about this?
What's that?
Now, we've talked about Chrysler and their record player before.
Yes.
Right? And it's a strange accessory. And I know people are – you know, they probably have heard of this before. But around 1956, Chrysler was actually putting something they called the Highway Hi-Fi into their vehicles. And it was a production item.
Mm-hmm.
It was a record player that was developed specifically for Chrysler Corporation cars that would fit under the dash and would play 45s. Well, you know, someone – not long after that, Norelco came out with something that they call I think it's called Mignon, mm-hmm. Which is a 45 RPM car record player that was like an aftermarket player. So you could get an aftermarket version of the Chrysler record player for your car, no matter what make or model.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of expensive, $55 at the time.
Wow.
So you're talking about probably late 50s when they came out with this, I would guess. Mm-hmm. About $55. So, again, if you see one, it doesn't have to be in a Chrysler car. It could be an aftermarket Norelco model.
I'd be interested to hear about the performance of those. You know, how do they handle driving on a street?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess that...
Are you a speed bump away from ruining your records?
I don't know. It seems like it might be all right. I mean, they had big soft suspensions in those things. They weren't really as rough as they are today.
That's
long
true.
Wheelbase.
That's true.
Typically big sedans with big, thick, cushy tires, so maybe it wasn't too bad. You've been in big cars where it feels like you're just floating.
Yes.
So maybe it was okay on records.
Maybe it was. Let's see. I've got so many modern ones, but I'm holding off. We've got a couple of other really neat car accessories. You know, you can, of course, clean a bus by attaching a gigantic vacuum cleaner to the door and sucking it out, right?
So, you know. What a fantastic idea.
I don't know why we stopped doing that.
So, yeah, and somebody is in the bus at the time. They're sucking all the air out of it, and he's got a broom, and he's sweeping it up, too, and, like, herding it, all the debris and stuff towards the door. That maybe doesn't seem like such a good idea. But really, it's kind of like turning a big attic fan on in your house, right?
Yes.
Same idea. Not bad. I think they should clean movie theaters like that.
That would be cool.
I know they used to use, like, an air hose when I worked there.
Oh, musical instruments?
Yeah, why not?
I want you to tell the good people about this one.
You know what? I may need just a minute to check my notes. So you want to
okay.
With one other in the meantime?
Okay, I'll do one other. Let's take it kind of dark. What about using the automobile exhaust to exterminate rats?
Not a bad idea.
Well, somebody thought it was a great idea.
Couldn't do that now with you know, the ultra-low emission vehicles. But.
Right, yeah. This is pre-catalytic converter days.
Yeah, definitely. Did you see the photo for this? I mean,
there's
a cloud of white smoke, and it's from a Model T that was decommissioned from the police office, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know, was it even detuned so that it would make it run even worse?
Even more noxious gas?
Yeah, I would guess so. I mean, but they're basically killing them with exhaust gas. Okay, I found my notes here on the musical instruments. Some guy, again, this is another one, what am I doing with my time, Ben? He created a dashboard keyboard that operates a car exhaust calliope. That's a cool idea.
Yeah.
You know, you've heard of calliope before, right? Mm-hmm. In parades or something like that. It has a real unique sound. But this guy, he installed a full system of pipes below the hood of his car.
Mm-hmm.
He plays it with a keyboard that pulls out from underneath the dashboard, underneath the glove box. And they say that it can be heard 6 to 8 blocks away.
And wouldn't it be irritating after a time to be that guy's neighbor or ride along with him. I mean, it's got to be like that whistle tips thing. You remember that?
Yeah, you know what? Should we talk about that now? Because or should we wait for the modern accessories?
Let's wait for the modern accessories.
All right, that's fine. Fair enough.
Fair enough. You can drive your vehicle, let's say, on a weekend. You want to take a nice drive, but unfortunately, you got to walk your dog. What's a car owner to do? Well, why not get a poochmobile? It looks essentially, it looks like a wagon with a huge hamster wheel attached.
This is one I think people have to look up to fully understand this one, to grasp it. This is so crazy.
And, you know, I love German Shepherds. They're actually my favorite type of dog. There's a German Shepherd in the hamster wheel looking thing right now. And his expression is somewhat ambiguous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't tell if he likes it or not.
I don't think he does.
You and I have been talking about whether or not the dog is powering the vehicle or just walking along with it.
I think he's powering the vehicle now that I look at this thing.
Yeah?
Yeah, I really do.
I mean, because there's no visible engine.
No, and wasn't this a mechanic, I think, that set this thing up?
Uh-huh.
I think he's got the gears and the pulley set up so that the dog is actually capable of moving this vehicle. The single dog is capable of moving this thing. It's an enormous
device. It's an enormous vehicle.
It's really huge. I mean, when you say hamster wheel, that doesn't do it justice. I mean, this thing is like 8 feet across, the wheel. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's big. I got a couple more really strange ones that I want to – just really bizarre. Let's stick with the dog stuff because this is maybe one of the stranger ones that I've seen. Not this one particularly. There's one coming up here. But someone who had the idea of cutting a hole in their trunk for the dog's head to stick through because, you know, smaller – British vehicles didn't have as much space in them as the larger American vehicles did at the time. So they've got a hole cut in this thing, and you see a dog's head sticking through, and the lady's, you know, feeding it a treat or some water or something. I don't think it was very well thought through.
It doesn't seem to be.
What about rain, or what about an accident? That could be really bad for the dog.
Yeah.
But it's a funny picture, comical picture anyway.
The dog looks happy.
Yeah, it does look happy. This is maybe one of the crazier ones, I think, Ben.
What is it?
This dog pouch idea. The ad says, dog rides comfortably in sack on running board. And I swear to you, this looks so, so dangerous and so uncomfortable for the dog. But it's a large canvas sack, and it's attached to the rear window with just a couple of big hooks. Almost look like hanger hooks, like you would like clothes hangers. And you just hook it over the – like you would at a drive-through for your car food or something.
Wow.
And the bottom is attached with a couple of just – looks like, you know, C-clamps that you picked up at a hardware store. The dog sits in this canvas sack with its head poking out towards the front of the vehicle. And the whole thing is just attached with, again, just these hooks and these clamps. The dog is standing on the running board as the person is driving down the road. The illustration looks crazy.
That is a terrible idea.
It really does. It looks completely unsafe. I can't imagine, imagine an accident scenario, imagine bad weather or something like that. Imagine just the dog, one of those clamps falling off.
During a sharp turn
just
or something.
Terrible. This is a terrible idea, but I mean, it's a funny illustration. It does look funny. It looks very, very, very dangerous for the dog.
And that reminds me, this is a little bit of a sidebar, but it would be cool to hear from listeners about their pets and their cars, their vehicles, how they do it. You know, because everybody's got a method. Right?
Sure, yeah.
And German Shepherds, last dog I had was German Shepherd. It shed everywhere, man. They have like three different layers of hair.
Oh.
They all shed on these different schedules.
Yeah.
And I became pretty good at it. I mean, I didn't put a hole in the trunk for my dog's head.
How about a pouch?
I did not put a pouch. I didn't strap him anywhere outside.
Just throw him over the edge.
He did. I did get in trouble with some of my friends one time because the dog called shotgun before the people. And I was the car I was in at that time had two doors. And so
smart dog.
Yeah, he was a champ. But I have one more vintage thing.
Okay.
I think it's weird. You recall the Tucker, right?
I do.
1948 Tucker sedan.
Mm-hmm.
Said, you know what would be better than two headlights? Let's put a third out. Right in the middle. There's nothing weird about
sure.
that.
Sure. A little strange.
Consumers disagreed.
Yeah.
They didn't think about it. And every so often I go back to that and I look at that and just notice the design of it is kind of cool.
It's very clever, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you know that there are now headlights that do turn as you steer. But there's not. But there's not three of them. There's two of them.
It's just the one.
Just the two. Yeah.
Just the two.
Yeah. So you know the middle design is probably what threw a lot of people on this thing.
Yeah, I think so.
I think if the two headlights had maybe steered or turned with it, you know, people would have bought that idea. I got another crazy gadget. You know what, Ben?
What?
Let's just say this. I've got probably more than we can get through here. I've got maybe another 50 of these things we can go through. There's so many. We're not going to be able to get to all of them.
Yeah.
I hope people are following along or have found this list, you know, by going to the ham. But I do want to mention this last one, then we'll go on to some modern accessories.
Great. Okay, yeah.
And I think, my gosh, we're skipping over the car section completely, the complete cars. But this gadget, this is so weird. Here's an idea of some of the strange stuff that there was. There's something called a Drawmatic cigarette starter. So this is how far we've come right now. A lot of old cars had cigarette lighters, of course.
Right.
And then that kind of went away and they became power outlets, right?
Yeah. Not in a wink.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And then, you know, you could buy an accessory that was also a cigarette lighter or a cigar lighter. And, you know, instead of having that cup, you could also get a metal ashtray, right? Okay. So long, long time ago when all cars had cigarette lighters, you could get something called the Drawmatic cigarette starter. And, what this did was it was hooked to the vacuum system of the car. The vacuum, windshield wipers, maybe.
Okay.
And you would put the end of the cigarette in, you would light it with your cigarette lighter, and this thing would make the initial couple of puffs on your cigarette to get it started for you. And then you would remove the cigarette from the starter, and it was like what they call a well-lit cigarette.
Because you don't have time to light your own cigarette if you're driving and you're cooking.
Yeah, that's right. You're cooking a hot dog or you're making some stew on the running boards or you've got your dog hanging off the side, whatever.
Yeah.
You don't have time to start your own cigarette. So the idea was that you would do this and you wouldn't, you know, inadvertently burn yourself. $2.75, and this is something that it looks like it fit in a custom way into the dash. So it was, you know, quite an accessory to add on. But again, $2.75, this seems like one of those cool older accessories that you would find in like an old hot rod or something that was really neat, you know.
I am going to go a little bit against it. I know we don't have time to mention cars, but there's just one I want to tell you about.
Sure.
Because it was off of...
Oh, I didn't mean to jump on that.
No. It's probably good because we do both have mountains of notes today.
Mm-hmm.
But this car is called the I Save You. Remember I showed you this one earlier?
I Save You?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah,
it's
right.
It's a padded car.
This is ridiculous.
It's a padded car. It's maybe about the size of, I don't know, what would you say, a Mini Cooper maybe?
Maybe.
And its front and rear bumpers have a padding material there, to just an extra layer of protection. It doesn't go that quick. It's going to be a little bit under $10,000. The Japanese designers believe that this will be good for Japan's aging society, and they say they've had a lot of requests already from the elderly and disabled. The cushions are made of tent fabric and sponge material.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so in case of an impact, they protect both the passengers and pedestrians. Scott, what I'm saying is these are bumper cars. They're electric bumper cars.
It's worse than a bumper car. Let's not mince words here, Ben. This is a terrible idea. If you look at this design, this I Save You car design, it looks like you're driving a couch backwards down the road is what it looks like, doesn't it?
Yeah, why bother to not hit things?
I know. This is like the, you know, like when people take the absurd angle on something, you know, they take it to the very limit.
Yeah.
This is what this is. I mean, you're wrapping yourself in foam cushions and driving down the road.
Now, I will say that clearly the intentions are good.
Yeah, okay.
I'm bringing something positive out.
Yeah, okay. Well, good job.
What do you... Thanks, buddy.
I've got a lot of cars here too, but I don't think I want to get into them because we've got so many things that are going on here. I mean, I've got prop cars, I've got little mini cars, I've got cars that are made out of wood. I've got you know, the one-off cars that have 8 wheels and 6 wheels.
Mm-hmm.
Strange stuff. Let's just get to some modern accessories that I've been seeing recently, and I think we'll wrap it up with this because I know that this could get really huge, and I think a lot of people are, you know, they've got their own favorites.
Right.
So maybe we need them to write in and say, here's what I'm seeing in my area. This is a trend for some reason, but I don't know if it's anywhere else. What do you guys think?
Love it. Yeah, send us that.
So we mentioned, you know, let's just get this one out of the way.
Yeah.
Whistle tips.
Whistle tips.
Yeah.
Okay, so brief anecdote. Scott, you and I usually hang out before or after the show,
mm-hmm.
and we just talk about the stuff that we forgot to put in usually.
Yeah.
But then also we end up just shooting the breeze with our producer, Casey. And one of the things that you showed me earlier was a news report that I'd never seen.
Yeah.
That was so bizarre I thought it was a comedy sketch disguised as a news report.
Yeah.
And that was the story of whistle tips in Oakland, California.
Yeah, and for anybody that hasn't seen this clip, and I'll just tell you right up front here what you can search for on YouTube to find it. You search these words, funny whistle tips on YouTube. And the length of this thing is about 2 minutes and 20 seconds. It is a news report, but stick with it. It's hilarious because not just because of the device that we're talking about here.
No.
You know, the whistle tips are something that you weld inside a tailpipe and they make this really high pitched whistle. Mm-hmm. They're really annoying.
It's that whoop whoop. that's a quotation from this clip.
It's more like woo woo. That's it, right? Yeah. And even worse than that, again, it's so funny. This guy they interview at the shop when they're putting these in.
Yeah.
He just happens to be there. His name is Bub Rub.
Yeah, that's how he identifies himself.
And he's got someone with him named that he calls Lil Sis. Mm-hmm. And Bub Rub is so funny to watch in this video. It makes it completely worthwhile to watch it.
Especially there when he drives off.
Oh, my gosh.
This is what made it difficult for me to believe that this was real, because when he drives off, he swerves across the road, almost hits a parked car, and then just doesn't even roll through a stop sign, accelerates through a stop sign.
And weaves back and forth on the road. It's just – it's funny. You can tell he's looking back at the camera to see – you know, to watch them as he's leaving, and he's not watching the road.
Yeah.
Nearly a terrible accident. It could have been several accidents right there. It was really – it's a very funny news clip. Again, it's only about 2.5 minutes long.
And it's funny because nobody got hurt. Let's
get
that out of the way.
And it happened to have one of these weird car accessories, these whistle tips.
Yeah.
Is what it's all about. So, you know, I thought, you know, that was from a few years ago.
Right.
Yeah. I want to say like maybe 5-6 years
Four
ago,
five,
something
five.
Like that. Maybe more even
at
this point. But I'm starting to see these really strange things around town. Like, and a couple of these, you know, you can find these in you know, different magazines. Things like car headlamp eyelashes. Have you seen these?
Yeah.
A lot of people put them on Volkswagen Bugs. Any car that has big round headlights, a lot of people love to put eyelashes on them. Those are a little bit strange. Here's one for the season we're in, I guess.
Uh-huh.
Reindeer antlers.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And a big red nose on the front. A lot of people do that. Boy, here's another one. Two words. I'm not going to say any more about this.
Okay.
Car nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're done with that. Usually truck. Let's say truck nuts.
Often truck nuts.
Okay. I think people know where we're going with that one. That's a strange one. Uh-huh. Flamethrower exhaust.
Oh yeah, fine.
That's kind of an older one. That's a hot rod thing. That's kind of cool.
Cool.
I think it is cool. Not really new, but I think it's worth mentioning anyways as a dangerous accessory, right?
Uh-huh.
You mentioned the car mustache, neon. You mentioned that one.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I mentioned another one to you that you had to look up called Pimp Star Rims.
Yes. Okay. So let's start at the very basic. Spinning rims, admittedly a bit of a silly car accessory. They don't lend to the performance of the vehicle, right?
Mm-hmm.
They are purely cosmetic,
nope.
And they can be impressive. They can be works of art.
Mm-hmm.
The rims that keep spinning when the car stops can also be a status symbol.
Yeah.
But someone else said, you know, I'm bored of this. This is not doing it for me anymore. And what did they do, Scott?
So they've made these rims that are completely customizable with light.
Yes.
And I know it's strange to hear this, but it uses LED lights. And you can transfer any kind of image that you want to this, a photograph, a written message, a handwritten message, a logo. Anything to them. They're called, if somebody wants to look them up, which I think you should, just to see this.
Yeah.
They're called Pimp Star Rims. And,
watch the commercial.
the commercial is pretty funny. They're programmable. You can have them timed so that they can change images as you drive.
They can do some animation, some GIF.
I'll be honest. There are some things they can do with these that really look interesting and neat.
Yes.
And it's amazing technological device, I guess. I don't know how better to say that, but I mean, it's really, really interesting how it works. But the commercial, the guy's doing crazy things like
that. Yeah, I was going to say, there's one glaring problem.
As he's driving, he's writing on a tablet and, you know, transferring the image of his phone number down to his wheels so that, you know, the lady next to him in the Ferrari can give him a call.
And he's staring at her the entire time.
Yeah, there's a lot of distracted driving going on in this commercial, this clip. Mm-hmm. These things are very, very expensive. I mean, I think a set of these is like $12,000 or something like that.
Yeah, it's such a cool idea, though.
The logos and things like that, I'll tell you, they do look pretty cool, but definitely not for me. Not my kind of thing.
Yeah, it's not really Scott Benjamin
style. It's extremely showy.
Yeah. Although I will admit, I've often thought of how cool it would be to be stuck in traffic. And maybe in front of you or behind you, you need to get a message to the other car. I think it would be so cool to have a display or a text field or something. Mm-hmm. Clearly, I am not responsible enough for that because I would abuse it.
I think that they have some that are programmable and that you can send, you know, like maybe one of five preloaded messages.
Right.
You know, like on a license plate frame mm-hmm. or something like that. But this is the entire surface of your where your rim would normally be in your car,
right? Yeah,
or your giant SUV is what it was shown on here.
That's what was on the commercial. We don't see these on Geo Metros.
No, I don't think so. Unless you can fit 22-inch rims on a Metro. You got one more?
No, you. Got.
I just this is my last one. So,
is this one you've been saving?
No, not one I've been saving, but maybe one that I've got a question about. Really.
Okay, yeah. So I love to end on a question.
All right, so. I've been noticing this around my hometown here recently, mm-hmm. around Atlanta. A strange thing. People are hanging objects from the tow hooks on the back of their car.
Yeah.
And it's key fobs. There's game controllers. Mm-hmm. There are small stuffed animals.
Right.
I think I kind of understand the history of this thing. I sort of get it. The idea is to get whatever that object is that's hanging from the tow hook as low to the ground as possible. I mean, it seems like you could do that with a slightly longer chain, but yeah, exactly. But you see strange little things hanging from the back of people's vehicles. It's really distracting. And when they're turning, they're kind of sliding out to the sides.
Yeah.
It's really this tow hook object thing is kind of bugging me. I don't know exactly the history of it. I don't know why people do it. I don't know what it means. Is it like, you know, do certain groups of people have certain things that they hang on there for a sign?
I
don't know.
Is it like a signal the way that a bumper sticker could be a signal or something?
I don't know.
Like, oh, we're the swinging Barbie crew.
Maybe. That's a strange name, by the way.
It is a weird name.
Swinging Barbie crew.
Look, I'm not part of their group. I'm just telling you who they are.
Mm-hmm.
No, I see what you're saying. I've seen those around. I always just assumed it was for decoration. What's the question?
Well, the question is, what the heck do they mean, and who's doing it? Why? What's the point of all this? Like, what's the goal? is it to get that, you know, as low to the ground like I think it is, or is it, you know, some type of culture thing? What is it exactly?
I can see busting in on someone or pulling up next to him in a parking lot and then saying, pardon me, sir, what's your end game here?
Yeah, what does this mean, sir? I just don't get it. But I mean, the variety of things that I've seen from there, I mean, like literally like PS2 game controllers and key fobs and Pokemon characters and all kinds of stuff is hanging from the back of the bumper there on the tow hook, rather. So someone clue me in on this.
Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and with completely no real information about this, I'm going to speculate that this is maybe purely for decorative or stylish purposes. Mm-hmm. Let you know, hey, car behind me, let me let you know a little bit about who I am.
Yeah, I don't think it has much to do with performance.
I play PlayStation 2. You know, maybe they're saying that. Maybe it's another kind of personality display. But who knows, Scott? Maybe there is something deeper to it.
Ben, you know, one last thing is that we've got so much material here. There's so many of these crazy car devices and crazy things like, I mean, some of the stuff from the 20s, 30s, 40s are just so outlandish, and mm-hmm. you've got to really see the photographs of these things. And the unique cars, I mean, there's just an unlimited supply of accessories and odd devices that never caught on, that, you know, interesting ideas for sure, but there's a lot of safety concerns, or they just don't work into production.
Or they weren't practical.
Yeah, exactly. Most of them are really, really dangerous.
A lot of
like,
them are,
like the dog in the sack idea.
A lot of them are very, very dangerous.
Yeah, so, you know, I know that people have got their own favorites. Maybe they could, you know, send in a clip of maybe one of their favorite things that they've seen.
I'd love to see that.
You know, news clippings, whatever. Uh-huh. Or if you happen to have an old car that has some crazy device like the, you know, the cigarette puffer thing, the dramatic cigarette starter.
Yeah.
Something like
that.
Love
to see that.
Really interesting, unique accessories.
Now, Scott, this one is on me. Keith writes in from the internet to raise a very good point, and I want to make sure everybody hears it. He says, "Hello, Car Stuff guys. I enjoy listening to your show, but have to correct you on one small issue I heard when listening to the episode on gasoline.
Uh-oh.
Someone, I don't remember who, it was totally me, said that you don't know why gasoline is still referred to as unleaded. You said that all gasoline is unleaded. Then your counterpart mentioned something about an additive for lawnmowers or something like that. But I'm sorry to say that you were wrong. Avgas or 10011, maybe I'm reading that wrong, is still leaded. It's the gasoline used in piston-powered airplanes. It's dyed a nice blue color so you can tell it's not gas for cars. That is dyed a greenish color. Other than that, keep up the great work. Love listening to this show. Keith, thank you so much. And I did mean to clarify, I was referring just to gas for vehicles. Keith is absolutely right about leaded gas for airplanes.
You know what? We both took a look at this one, and I think I think the way that's I think that's 100 LL.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
is what that is.
Did I, what did, I said 11.
That's okay. I'm pretty sure it's LL.
Yeah.
And I think it stands for low lead.
Yeah.
Because there's very little lead in the fuel actually. But it's definitely in there, and they dye it a blue color. Like did you mention that?
Yeah, he mentions that.
Yeah, the blue color. And when you see this online, it's like a really it's a pretty blue color, really.
Yeah.
But it definitely stands out versus regular gas. So if you saw two in a container, a clear container on a shelf, you would know for sure which one is the leaded fuel.
So
it's a small aircraft.
Yeah, so I wanted to give a big thanks to Keith. We did need to clarify that. And, hey, man, thanks for listening to the show. If you are on a long drive right now, we hope that we're giving you an enjoyable episode. I've got one more piece of listener mail. Oh, gosh. Okay, here we go. Jonathan from Ventura, California writes
this, Wait, is this Jonathan from TechStuff?
No, this is not Jonathan from Texas.
Not trying to fool us? Okay.
We should keep an eye on him, though. Have you checked on him lately?
No.
Okay. Well, listeners, one day remind us to let you in on the crazy things that happen between shows. So Jonathan, not Jonathan from TechStuff, but Jonathan from Ventura, California, says, Scott and Ben, I recently listened to the rebroadcast of the Toyota acceleration problem. I thought the same this time as I did that time. Yes, it was a good move to hire NASA to analyze the software because these are the best you can find. I really think there is an additional reason that may be more compelling. In the American zeitgeist, bonus points for word usage, I think there is a feeling that NASA personnel cannot be bought. If Toyota had hired anyone else, there always will be cynics and skeptics who say that Firm X has been paid not to officially find anything. The NASA seal of approval is broadly beyond reproach. That would squelch most of the naysayers. Keep up the good work. You're one of my regular work companions as I crunch the numbers in my accounting.
You know what? That's a very good point. I think NASA has a lot of weight behind their name.
Yeah, and NASA can't be bought. I think that's an excellent point.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's a really good, it's a good thing to bring up. I think that is a good move on Toyota's part.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. We're sorry we couldn't get to everything today, mainly because it was so much fun to look this stuff up. I don't know. What do you think, Scott? Should we revisit this?
You know what? I've got so many things left over here that you know, it's possible that we could. We'd have to go through them even faster than what we did today because I think I have more than half left to still go. So
maybe we should do like a segment where we stop and say, here's a weird thing.
Not a bad idea.
Well, write in and let us know what you think. Tell us about your weird car accessory experiences or the strangest cars in your town.
Or a photo of something that you've got in your, you know, antique or vintage car that's really unique, something strange.
We want to know. We'd like to hear from you on Facebook. We're Car Stuff. We'd love it if you dropped us a line on Twitter. Or, you know what, cut out the middle, man. Send us an email directly at
carstuff@discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.